Welcome, everyone, to The Lonely TARDIS, your journey through space and time lords, where several companions come together to discuss all the news Doctor Who related. This week, we do happen to get together for a change. We've been trying to for a while, and we've managed to...
We do happen to get together.
Every once in a while, we happen to get together. Coffee has not kicked in. We do happen to get together. We've gotten together. We are together. Most of us, anyways. Marcus couldn't make it this evening, but Stephen, Sean, and myself, Dolly, are here to finally discuss all that huge Doctor Who news from a couple weeks back. Sorry it's taken us this long to get together. Schedules have been crazy. We've done it though, and we're ready to get rolling here. So, gentlemen, first of all, welcome. It's fantastic to see you. See you, wonderful dudes. Hear you, wonderful dudes again.
Hey. Yeah.
Hi,
everyone. It's just a font of excitement every single week that we're on here, you know, daily.
Yes.
It is nice to be together.
Pent up excitement, too. I mean, if this was a weekly thing, we would all just be like,
We have to do that shit again.
It's so good to hear you, yeah.
Go talk about Dr.
Who. Why do you turn into Batman when you do this every week?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't subscribe to the Christian Bale voice as the canonical Batman voice. Thank you, sir.
Rorschach.
Mr. Norton.
Rorschach.
What about him?
And they'll scream up at me, podcast. And I'll whisper no.
Except we're totally doing a podcast. That joke doesn't fly, my man. I am here to police
Actually,
everything.
Actually, if you go back to what we're talking about, how we haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe this is the reason why, because we go off on these wonderful tangents.
That's how you should have ended the previous episode.
And complimentary to Stephen Batman over there.
Yes,
Stephen Batman.
He just comes out swinging, and I don't understand.
Where's Falcone?
If that had been Capaldi, that would have been spot on.
Where's Capaldi? All right, well, yeah. Doctor Who, lots of news. I'm so glad to hear your lovely voices again, my wonderful teammates. Lots of Doctor Who's. The big one, of course, and I'll go down the list now. The biggest news, and this is a complete shocker, but Class is coming into 2016. BBC, we'll get to that later. We're just kidding. Doctor Who has been delayed 1 year. And all this, first of all, news kind of came in one big chunk. So you know they've been preparing this for a while now.
What?
Doctor Who is delayed to 2017?
I got my time travel back to January 20th.
Yeah, what? To 1975 when this was still news. We have traveled back in time.
No. I don't want to go a whole year without Doctor Who. I mean, that's still a genuine reaction. I don't want to go this whole year without the show. That's some
So here's all the news related to this right now, and then we'll dive right into discussing it. So the show has been pushed back 1 year. The head of BBC noted that because of the Olympics and a bunch of other events that are taking place this year, their schedule is essentially packed. Again, this is what she said. Who knows if this is true? The schedule is considerably packed with stuff, and so they took it upon themselves to push Doctor Who back a year, give Moffat and Capaldi more time to let the season marinate, get scripts, and make the best season 10 possible. By the way, it is now also Stephen Moffat's final season.
What?
Has been confirmed. Yes, Stephen Moffat leaving Doctor Who as its showrunner. To much relief, maybe relief is best, by many millions of fans everywhere, and disappointment to some fans because of that season.
Many millions of fans rejoicing, but a couple of people are like, oh.
But a couple were like, oh darn, I think it were his family.
Fans around the world, and a couple were just like, oh.
Stephen Moffat was really bummed that he got kicked out of Doctor Who.
Last couple episodes were actually pretty strong, like there was some strength there. And specifically his last episode, the Christmas special, was really beautiful. And like at the time, I remember him saying,
"Evans,
what?
It's great."
Yeah, no, some great stuff. But like he at the time said, like, hey, I wrote this episode as if it could be my last episode, and then lo and behold, guess what? it's his last episode. So
essentially his last episode, yeah. So he will be replaced by Chris Chibnall, who is the frontrunner, or was the frontrunner of Broadchurch, and Chris is Mr. Chibnall is actually hi Chris. We're gonna call you Mr. Chibnall for a while until you actually get on our podcast. He has been involved with Doctor Who. He's actually written and directed several episodes, including Power of Three, 42, and I think there were a few others. So
episodes with numbers in the title.
Anything with numbers. Yeah, Dinosaurs in a Spaceship, which I enjoyed except for a couple big holes in it. And then, you know, Hungry Earth, Cold Blood. So that he has been involved. He's going to take place. He's taking over with Series 11, which is due to air in 2018. So at least we know for sure that 27 and 2018 will have Doctor Who. Don't know until then, although it's been confirmed at least that there will be a Christmas special in 2016. So we'll have to wait essentially a whole year, 366 days, to get to another Doctor Who episode. Unless the rumors of a special episode pan out true, and this kind of broke or appeared a few days ago, in that I'm reading from our good friends at Blogger, who's a Stephen Moffat, outgoing Doctor Who showrunner, raised an intriguing question in a recent interview. It's a tiny comment. In a tiny comment, Moffat mentioned that he would be writing 14 Doctor Who films. Essentially, he's trying to make the episodes very film-like. Doctor Who season recently contained 12 episodes, followed by a few months later by the Christmas episode. But in an interview with the Daily Record, Moffat said, "Ahead of me this year, I have 14 Doctor Who and 3 Sherlock films." So what does that mean? Is there going to be an extra episode this year, or was he talking about the Christmas special in 2017, as well as the Christmas special in 2016? We're not quite sure. But my fingers are crossed for at least one extra Doctor Who special or Doctor Who episode this year.
Something to make up for
something, yeah. at least we know we can watch Doctor Who on Netflix. Oh no, because that news also broke that Netflix stopped carrying several BBC shows, including Doctor Who, due to contractual negotiations kind of falling apart.
So the thing about this
time stream here, this is making me more and more depressed.
The funny, like, I don't know, tiny little anecdote about this for me is that I actually didn't know that this had gone into effect yet until literally tonight, apropos of nothing, like before I even knew we were recording for certain tonight. Uh-huh. Because my mom called and was going through episodes and had mentioned that Netflix was no longer carrying episodes of Doctor Who. So yeah. My mom actually broke this news to me and knew something about Doctor Who that I did not. This
wow. We're going to have Mom Strom on the show from now on.
Mom Strom, that's her name.
Mom Strom. We're kicking Steven out and putting Mom Strom in. Hashtag Mom Strom, everybody.
I expect to see fan art of Mom Strom pretty soon.
There you go. So. Emerging from the TARDIS, Mom Strom. No, but it is bummer. I believe Amazon Prime still has Doctor Who, but Netflix does not. Netflix obviously is a somewhat of a bigger streaming service, and maybe it's probably the biggest one, which is interesting because Netflix uses Amazon host cloud hosting services. But so yeah, one of the big outlets for Doctor Who is now gone. I guess if you have on demand in the States, there's a good chance you can watch a lot of the episodes on there, but some of those classic ones are great just to pop on every once in a while. If you felt like if you needed a little Tennant or a little Smith or a little Eccleston in your life, then you could just find it on Netflix. And I would regularly watch a Doctor Who episode from years gone by at least once every couple weeks. So that's kind of a bummer.
That's what got me into the show. I mean, I was introduced to it through Netflix, through a friend, when Tennant was still on. And I know a lot of people that were, too.
I was going to say, I feel like a lot of people came in through the Netflix era.
And there's a lot of success due to that, due to the access on Netflix. And it's kind of a shame.
I think the way Netflix has functioned with the BBC, at least, is the contracts have been by year, right? So it's year by year contracts. They usually get renewed around Christmas time to sometime in January, and then they're ready for a whole other year. And in this case, it didn't happen. So it is a bummer, because that is also how I got into Doctor Who, was Netflix.
It's a shame. And there are rumors, I don't know if you touched on this, there are rumors that BBC is going to launch its own streaming service in America. So that's why they didn't renew the rights anywhere. But to take it off Netflix and then, you know, there's nothing, I'm looking now, there's nothing on Amazon Prime Video.
That's a bummer. And then anything on Hulu, who knows? I don't know.
Apparently you could buy season 9.
Hulu.
Hulu, LOL.
I mean, you could buy it on iTunes, you could buy it on Amazon.
Right, but you could buy it on Amazon for, you know, an episode at $3 each or the season for $30. Yep. But the days of the streaming are over for now. And that sucks. I feel like it really just does not appreciate or take into account that the fan base exploded and continued to grow because of Netflix.
So with all of this news right now, and I'm going to ask this is kind of a bigger holistic question, and we could dive into some of these individual points. With all of this news happening, and now we're not going to have any Doctor Who with minimal ways to view it for, you know, 10, 11 months now. We're Doctor Who-less. Is this going to be a hit on the fandom in the U.S.? Because I personally feel like with as strong as this last season ended, season 9, and how it – I mean, there were episodes where people were – I mean, I would stand up and applaud at the end of these episodes because some of them were just fantastic. I'm hitting this wall. There's going to be this blank spot, and I'm fearful that some fans might just start to go away from Doctor Who. They may not be as into it as in the past, and return ratings might suffer. I mean, that's a possibility?
I mean, the mix of, like, not getting new people in through Netflix, not being able to let people go back and just start from the start, plus the fact that there's not going to be any new Doctor Who, I think it's, like, impossible for there not to be some drop-off between people, like, just forgetting about the show, deciding that they don't need to stick around for the show, or just, like, finally does come back, rolls around, and people just, like, forget that it was even on. And then the new episodes are out, and, you know, they're 3 episodes behind or whatever, and they have no way to watch them, you know, 6 months down the line, unless they want to go through the hassle of a VPN or something like that. And people always bring that up when they say, like, if you want to watch another BBC, just use a VPN. Well, so, I would probably say, like, 75 to 90% of people who watch Doctor Who probably don't know what a VPN is.
Sure.
And B, like, you shouldn't have to jump through that hoop if you want if you want to watch this thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the other alternative is to get it on video or video on demand, but it's expensive as hell. Like, Amazon video on demand, like, paying for those seasons and stuff like that is not cheap. Like, it's priced pretty much, or pretty damn close, like, for a season of the show to, like, what you would pay for a DVD. And the DVDs on Doctor Who are very expensive. So
The prices are absurd. The markups on the Blu-ray collections and everything are just out of this world absurd. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to talk about that because that's going to just make me mad. But
they're out of this world and out of time absurd.
To answer your initial question, it's going to be very interesting because the game has really changed. This is the longest hiatus we've had without a special or anything in between, I think, ever.
I mean, since
New Who has been back, right?
No, since Eccleston. Obviously not the 20-plus years in between.
There was that David Tennant year where we had, like, 3 or 4 specials, right? There were, like,
We had the Easter one, we had Waters of Mars, we had the 2-part finale. But this is a Capaldi and Who-free year with the exception of Christmas as of now. So it'll be interesting to see how the ratings are affected. It is such a global show. It's fascinating. I'm going to make an early prediction here, and I reserve the right to change this in a year or God, who knows when we talk about this again. But I think that it's going to create pent-up demand.
I hope so.
I think when it comes back, there's going to be a lot of buzz around it, and I think that it's going to do well. I don't know if it'll do its peak, you know, greatness, but you got to factor in too. There's going to be the debut of a new companion.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of news around about Moffat going all out for his final season, and the huge wild card. And I don't know if we've talked about this yet. We don't know if Capaldi is leaving.
Correct. It's a great point. Yeah.
I think if he stays, but especially if he goes, which, oh my God, it would depress me if he left.
Yeah.
I think that's going to boost things too, because you know, then it's either his final season or people are going to want to see his final season with Moffitt, which could then in turn lead to higher ratings when the new guy takes over.
You know, what's interesting is that I felt like this past season was almost like the 13th or the 12th Doctor's first season. It kind of felt like that, right? Because that season 8 was just the buildup of trying to figure out who this Doctor was and what how Clara fit in everything. But this past season, I felt like was his. This was the actual first Peter Capaldi season, because this is what we actually got Capaldi. Yeah, the real Capaldi.
Capaldi finally found his footing. He like finally stepped up to the plate and took over the show the way that you would expect him to, and that everybody expected him to when he was first cast and everything like that, off the strength of his previous performances and stuff like that, and just wasn't there in season 8. And, you know, Jenna Coleman helped carry the show during that time. And but when he did find that footing, boy did he ever! Like that last speech and everything like that are absolutely fabulous. Like they're fantastic, and you know, you'd like to see more of that, especially now that he's in his groove. You'd like to see him going forward, and I hope, you know, to an extent that like some a bit of the reception to his performance in the last season, like maybe helps push him in that direction, because like I kind of always got the impression watching interviews with Capaldi and stuff like that, that he just looked tired. Like he looked like a guy who was just like after his who was maybe reading the things that people were saying about him, you know. And I granted, like, we live in kind of a little bit of a bubble here, because I don't necessarily read every interpretation of Capaldi and all the other episodes of Doctor Who that besides what we have here. But our reception to him is, at first was not super hot. Like, it was kind of always couched in some kind of qualification. What was that? It was super hot. You were immediately right on board?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to remember, too, how Matt Smith ended. We were burnt out, man. I mean, you take out the 50th special from there. His run with the end with Moffitt was pretty awful. And his final episode had a couple of high points, but was not great.
I having watched his last Christmas special again over this last Christmas, I actually kind of like really like that episode. Like going back and looking at it more, like it's not the emotional punch that like Tennant's last thing is, but I still liked it a lot.
It just to me, and not to spend any significant amount of time on this, but to me, it was a sort of mashup of a lot of what was wrong with that run with him and Moffitt. With just changing stuff that had already been established in the season.
Changing the rules constantly.
Changing the rules, changing the outcomes, changing the stuff that was said was going to happen on trends, you know, whatever. But to me, Capaldi was such a breath of fresh air because he was already such a well-renowned actor and so different from Smith and Tennant. So I was excited. I feel like he kind of took maybe half a season to really find his footing. And then by the time, you know, Shadow Monsters were starting to show up and then Mummy's on the train and everything, he was really good.
I think he was slightly overshadowed by Jenna Coleman that season. Like, Jenna Coleman was so strong that season.
Sure.
And they did kind of push her back a little bit, or hold her back a little bit, so that Capaldi could shine. And he definitely
absolutely
did this year.
They burned her up. They literally...
Yeah, I don't know if they held her back so much as they just ran the course, right? They made decisions earlier in her character's run. And those things had eventually played out. And so there was nowhere else to go with her based on the road that they had already put her down. You know?
Although they've
led down to the path of the reckless girl who was addicted to adventuring and depressed after being pink and all that other stuff. And I thought that payoff was really good until there wasn't any payoff. But back to the original point with Capaldi, I forget what the original point with Capaldi was.
That's all right.
I interrupted you to be like, no, wait, I
he's great. He was great from the beginning. Yeah.
I think he is great. I think he's gotten greater. I think he's getting better and better. I feel like he would be a good doctor to break the 3-series trend that we have right now.
I agree. Yeah, get him a 4th season.
And I don't know if him looking tired in interviews and stuff is just because he's sort of a stoic dude off camera or what.
I mean, totally possible. I just always got the impression.
I hope the show isn't killing him early.
No, I didn't mean it that way. I just meant like it didn't seem like he was 100% interested in, you know, in continuing that run and stuff like that. Like I didn't think that it was like doing anything to him physically. I just thought that maybe his like heart maybe wasn't in it after seeing like some of the response to some of the episodes surrounding him and stuff. There wasn't that like same level of, and you know, in general, he's like an older guy. He's a more mature guy. He's, you know, probably not like bouncing out of his seat like a 12-year-old like Matt Smith was at all times either, because Matt Smith was an actual 12-year-old. But you know, it was just different to see, having not had an older person playing the Doctor, and seeing him in those off-screen performances and stuff like that, ever really for me, not live, and even back in the day with, you know, the older Doctors and stuff like that, like by which I mean like the 60s era and stuff, like it's not like there was things like Doctor Who Confidential for those guys to show up on. You know, like it's not like we have a ton of interviews of that style to go back and look at.
So I mean, I would hope that he'd be the one to break the trend of the three seasons or so. Because
I'd like to see that just here, because I'd like to see that not even just because of Capaldi, just because like it's kind of predictable at a certain point.
Yep. I agree.
I'd like to see somebody try and like, I'd like to see what somebody who took that role for a longer amount of time could do with the with that particular thing. Like regardless of who it was, just like see how that character can be developed over a lengthier period of time.
So we're going to be missing a lot of Doctor Who over the next year, essentially. There is a chance that we don't get any Doctor Who until December. A fairly good chance, but we are going to have Doctor Who related things until then, like Class. I know we were like, oh, great, Class, which is the school that what's the name of that school? I forget the name of the school. Anyways, it's the young adult the Whoniverse series, right? So it's going to take place in that area. It's almost like a young adult version of Torchwood, I think. Maybe is an easier way to explain it, but that's going to be coming this year. And I think April was the date. So it's going to be pretty soon if everything is correct in my thinking. Not that that's going to replace Doctor Who. It's going to be a different kind of show, but I'm hopeful that there'll be something this year. So this is where I'd like to get your ultimate wishes. If we can't have Doctor Who proper, what could we have? So I think this year is the perfect timing for something like a Lego Doctor Who game. We talked about that. And Doctor Who was, in my opinion, the best thing out of Lego Dimensions, which is a great, really popular, great game, you know, a console game that came out last year. But Doctor Who was loved in that. So I'd love to see a whole separate Doctor Who Lego game. Or, and this is where things could get really interesting, if you want to get Doctor Who back into the minds of younger kids, what about a Lego Doctor Who TV series? That could be, or Lego Doctor Who movies. I think that could be pretty cool, and a great way to get Doctor Who in front of the younger folks, and the production and casting and stuff could potentially work out. So I'm all for that. That would be my dream to happen. Of course, maybe a special here or there, but what would you guys like to see this year? I mean, is there anything in particular that could keep you motivated and going?
Well, I assume we're talking wishful thinking now, right?
Yeah.
I think the Lego route is a really good idea, and I'm kind of mad that you said it first. Honestly,
well, there's a set as I'm staring at my figures right now on the wall.
Yeah, I had that game, but I fell out of it because I fell out of everything. And I got that expansion from my girlfriend, the Doctor Who level expansion. So I can't wait to play that, but I haven't touched it yet because I'm terrible.
And then pick up the Dalek and the Cyberman.
I got those too. I picked those up because they were on sale from Amazon.
Good man. Really, yeah, it's $6.
Everybody out there is like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the Lego thing is really good. If I could, obviously the dream is multi-doctor, right?
Yeah.
Get Capaldi in the same room with Tennant and Smith. And even John Hurt, but that's pretty ever again. And since there's no chance for most of this to happen, I would even settle for them reading scripts, like Dev Diary style. Just put them at a table and just give them some scripts or let them riff off each other and film it like a behind-the-scenes, like, you know, documentary-style thing. Just super informal. Like, and if they're not going to do it in character, put them in a coffee shop.
You know, you
a couple of episodes of them just chilling, talking about filming, yeah, talking about how they grew up with everything. And, you know, because if we're not going to get any multi-doctor stories for years, most likely, and we're not going to get any new Capaldi this year, give us some of this cool content that, like, that still reminds you why you're a fan in the first place and why you love these.
Kind of like a comedians in cars drinking coffee, but like doctors in coffee shops talking Who. Could be kind of an interesting little live show or something that brings together Doctor Who history to talk about the show. Could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, and it would be relatively cheap. I mean, you probably just have to be working around the schedules of,
yeah,
of the main players here, but
I like that link that you posted today. Was it today, I think, with John Hurt reading the speech?
Yes. Yes. There's a, for those who are unaware, the Radio Times has an article from 2 days ago, so February 16th, that John Hurt was at a convention or a panel or somewhere, and he read famous speeches from, you know, William Hartnell's Promise and the Five Doctors, John Pertwee's Planet of the Daleks dialogue, Tom Baker's Ark in Space address, and then Capaldi's moving words about the war from the Zygon invasion. So that's kind of what spurred this idea, is like, well, that and, you know, the work I kind of do on the regular and other games and stuff.
Yeah.
You have these cost-effective ways to deliver content to fans that don't require, do not require a full production, do not require a team and crew. Honestly, there's a lot of stuff you can do just with audio alone, and I think you're seeing that now with Tennant and Donna Catherine Tate and the new audiobooks that are coming later this year. But it would just be so easy. It'd be so easy.
I agree. What about you, Stormy?
I would really love for something to replace Doctor Who. I would love for them to just get that Star Trek TV series off the ground right now, and so I can have that going. I mean, that is kind of – that was actually going to be my original answer, because, like, going off of that, I was going to basically say, like, none of the spin-offy Doctor Who stuff has ever really appealed to me. And, like, again, if we're talking pie in the sky stuff, because, like, a Doctor Who Lego TV series or a Doctor Lego Who Lego game are, like, so – like, it's so niche within a niche that – I mean, they're popular niches, don't get me wrong, but, like, that's a hard sell by itself. Besides that, like actual spin-offs that they've had, the Sarah Jane Adventures, and Torchwood and stuff like that, has just never done anything for me. Like the mm-hmm. one time that they caught me, that they tricked me, is maybe a better way of putting it, was with Children of Earth. It was the one good time that they had with that thing. But then I thought about it, and actually what I would really like is, not in the traditional Big Finish, serials, I'd like an ongoing Doctor Who radio drama.
Oh, cool.
Something that I could get here for a reasonable price as well, or, you know, something that they played online, or like something that was on, like that they streamed online with ads or something like that. Something along those lines, like a half hour of Doctor Who every, you know, week or something like that for, you know, a season of X number of episodes, and then they just do another season the next year or something like that. Instead of the traditional like 4-episode little thing, I would love to see something like that.
We should totally convert the Lonely TARDIS into an audio play where 4 schmucks like us have found a TARDIS sitting out in the middle of the desert, and we're taking it around for adventures. That's what Lonely TARDIS is going to become. I think it's a great idea, and I'm looking forward to, I guess the void over the next year and a half or so is probably going to have to be filled by the audio dramas.
How about a Handycam series with Capaldi having like just being lost for a year, like having no idea what to do with himself, and then hilarity ensues because he thinks he should still be doing the doctor stuff, but it's a real world. Everybody around him's like, "The fuck you doing, bruv? You know what I mean?
Like, you're not the doctor. It's not real." So here's an idea actually that just popped in my head while you were talking, Stephen. I think and it's bouncing off your idea of the audio play and so on. We loved, or at least I loved the mini webisode with the Eighth Doctor. What if they do like a series of like little tiny, you know, 3-minute episodes or something, you know, on either on BBC or online with the Eighth Doctor, maybe even the War Doctor, some John Hurt stuff. That could be kind of cool and kind of fun because we loved those two iterations of the Doctor, especially the Eighth Doctor wowed us.
Oh, yeah.
If you could potentially do some short live 3-minute, 5-minute things, you know, at the tail end of some show. They may have another TV show. Maybe they're showcasing Class or something else, and they tack on this 5-minute or 3-minute little mini episode at the end of that. That could be kind of cool and interesting, and you still have a little bit of Doctor Who going on there. And then you could collect it at the end of the year in like one big, you know, like one episode. Kind of like how...
and then you could throw it on a Blu-ray for 400 times the price.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, like, the Fear of the Walking Dead has the little mini episodes built into the Walking Dead proper with the airplane. Well, I forget the flight.
You've lost me there because I've watched the very first season of The Walking Dead and nothing else.
Well, Fear of the Walking Dead has this little mini spinoff of a plane being overrun by zombies in an airplane, and no Samuel L. Jackson involved. But they've been doing like this minute-long skit or a minute-and-a-half-long portion of this story during episodes of The Walking Dead proper as a lead-in to the next season of Fear of the Walking Dead. And they're planning on collecting them all at the end of the year and making like an actual half-hour, you know, episode or something. But that can be kind of an interesting way to do it. So you can build up this episode over time of Doctor Who. Anyways, there are ways where they can do things fairly inexpensively, to both your points, Sean and Steven, that you could still have a lot of fun and still enjoy. I mean, you don't need Doctor Who proper. We'd love to have it, but the live show with Capaldi interviewing folks about Doctor Who, or having, you know, coffee with past doc. Could you imagine like a short series, like a 6-episode series where he just spends time with like maybe six of the living doctors? He just like spends an hour talking to them about Doctor Who and their time as a doctor. And I think that'd be great. I would love that. That'd be fantastic. And it'd be super easy to, I don't know, maybe not super easy, but it would be much more manageable than doing an entire big sci-fi episode. And that could be interesting. I don't know, BBC, or hopefully someone from BBC is listening, because we just gave you a ton of great ideas.
Yep. You know, so send your checks to me specifically.
Send your check to Momstrom.
Send to Momstrom. She'll get it distributed to everybody else. I promise you guys will get your fair cuts and everything like that.
But not Marcus, because he wasn't here to give his ideas.
Nope. I mean, you know, that's what happens. You miss that one meeting, you oversleep that day, and you miss out on being a founder of Apple, like us.
Exactly.
Like we are the next Apple, but for Doctor Who.
Yeah, one day I'll tell you guys a story about how my dad could have invested in Google stock.
Oh, jeez.
I feel like everybody's family has that story. Like,
you want a reason for a time machine. Good Lord.
Movie Frequency. You remember that? Anybody remember that movie Frequency, where he tells his like little brother or whatever, like, "I got a magic word for you. It's Yahoo." And like, I love looking back at that movie now. And like, the end of that movie is his little brother grows up to be rich, and it's just like, I don't know about Yahoo being like the thing that would make you rich. Like, that movie dates itself in a really good way.
It's probably closer to Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine,
where he invests in Google.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, 20 years from now, when Google is like, Google, ha, 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 you mean like web crawler? Woo!
Alta Vista's making a comeback.
Alta Vista's making a comeback. Yeah, whenever, like, you know, Oobity Boobity is like the new search engine.
Love it. Well,
classic time travel moves.
We got a bunch of the notes down. Hopefully, we're able to weather this next year and a half, and I'm sure we'll try to get together.
I do think we're going to get set reports, which, I mean, will be, you know, it'll be debatable for people who want to go in completely unspoiled and want to hear rumors and speculation and stuff. We're for sure going to get companion announcement, although I don't know if that's going to come in the second half of the year, maybe. And we need an announcement on Capaldi's plans, but I don't know if we're going to get that this year. They might save that till right before the season starts. So.
Sure. I agree.
So I don't know. And I mean, there's all that speculation still about the companion. I mean, I want to say I read that Capaldi's on record saying they want to do something different.
Yep.
But
well, they
general statement with no insight or helpful, like nothing. It was just like, we want to do it in a different direction.
I vaguely remember, actually, maybe it was even Moffat saying something along the lines of, it's like something that we've never done before, or something that no one is going to expect. Something like, he made big promises about it being something totally different, which, you know, considering every companion has.
It's a cartoon. It's an animated character.
Yeah, I mean, the companions of the new series, and, like, you know, the vast majority of companions throughout history and stuff like that have been conventionally attractive white straight women. So, like, it's not too hard to get out of that box. So they could do a lot of, you know, white straight women from like modern day. Like, there's a lot of different things that they could do, like just going to a different time era, going with a different kind of companion, going with a different gender, going with, like, trying to be, like, more affirmative on certain things or progressive on certain things. They could do any number of things, and it would be wildly different than what they've been doing now.
Yep. Well, hopefully we'll be able to get together at least and talk about stuff. I'm sure we will. We'll try to get to the Tennant and Tate, Tennant and Tate, T-squared, T2, episodes of Big Finish. So that'll be something that we can talk to for sure. And we'll use that space to help us live through. Hopefully Doctor Who comes back to some type of streaming service, because that would be ideal. At least we can maybe look at some specials over the years and some.
Here's a question. Is there anything, I know my answer to this is pretty much a resounding no, but is there anything that the BBC America could offer that would get you to subscribe to a stream for probably the industry standard $9.99 a month? A streaming service?
That they could offer. Well, one thing that would be great is if they had every Doctor Who episode, at least every one that's in existence, because not all of them were on Netflix. They kept some of them separated. So that would be one thing. Get me every Doctor Who episode and all those Doctor Who specials, the little mini things. That would help. Top Gear, maybe older Top Gear. I don't know.
Give me access to BBC radio dramas on top of the
there you go.
TV stuff. Yep. Give me that.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Yep. Give me the app or the – yeah.
Give me, in addition to TV, with the $9.99 or whatever it was, you know, even if you bump the price up by $5 or whatever, give me the radio dramas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Give me BBC radio dramas. Give me all that branded stuff. Not just Doctor Who, but, like, give me. There's, like, a lot of different things they have. Like, there's the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy radio series. Yep. There was, like, the Foundation series based on Isaac Asimov stuff back in the day, which might not actually be BBC. I'd have to go back and look at that. But there is stuff out there. Even modern stuff still being done today that isn't Doctor Who related that comes out weekly that I could get access to. So.
Sure. All right. Well, I'm going to have to walk back my statement a little bit. As of now, I don't think it'd be something I'd be interested in, but you have convinced me I should keep an open mind, Steve.
There you go. Yeah, that'd be a cool thing.
I still want Doctor Who back on Netflix, because that's stupid.
Yes, that would be ideal. That would be ideal.
It really should. It should be everything.
It should.
A world of, like, dreaming that license fees and rights aren't a nightmare.
Isn't streaming going up like a dollar sometime soon?
No, stop.
Who knows? Anyways, here are a few comments from many of our listeners and followers on social media.
Hey guys.
Hello, we love you guys. Benedict Brook at Harmonica 339 says, "No Doctor Who this year. Damn, that's a shame. Last season was awesome." Yes, I love last season. Weird fan fiction. Good friend Scott Nixon says, "This sucks if it's true." This is back when the news just broke. So I'm reading some of these old. I told you all I would read these tweets. Alan Paxton, a loyal listener, says, "After season 10, Marcus should be pleased, shouldn't he?" Yes, I'd assume so. About Moffat.
Oh, yeah.
Weird fan fiction again, Scott Nixon. Right, he was reading the article. He said, "I just got to the part of it being moved to 2017. Didn't see the Moffat part. That's awesome that he is gone." So, yeah, there's some, again, there's some rejoicing about Moffat leaving we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I don't know what to think, everybody. I'm the year-long delay. I could have survived another year of Moffat this year. The year-long delay is going to kill me, but we will find something for you all to listen to, Lonely TARDIS wise. We're not going to go on hiatus. I know last year we kind of went on like a,
anyway.
Yeah, well, we kind of went on like a 4 or 5 month hiatus last year. Won't happen this year because we'll at least try to get something out every couple months. I know there are going to be some things that pop up here and there, and we've got some other ideas for other aspects of keeping this handy group together in podcasting. Hopefully we'll hammer out those details. You'll still hear from us, in other words. There's still a lot of Doctor Who to talk about, even though it might not be on television at this very moment. With that said, thank you for listening. Please rate and review us. I'm going to start saying at the very beginning of the podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, wherever you're listening, whatever. Wherever you find us, rate and review us. And let us know if you like this podcast. We hope you do. Tell your friends about it. The more listen, the better. You can find us at Lonely TARDIS on the Twitters. LonelyTARDIS.com is our wonderful website. You can find Marcus at Annoyed Gamer and the No Comments podcast. And he's got some other things that he's been working on too. He's been a little bit busy, so keep an eye out for Marcus's upcoming endeavors.
But please make fun of him and give him crap for not being here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I want everybody to bombard him.
Yes, please. Everybody tweet at Marcus. Well, if you hear this, tweet at him and say, why weren't you on the latest podcast? Hashtag MomStrom. Steven, where can they find you?
Holy crap. We were talking about this earlier, but you can find me in a lot of places. First and foremost is Twitter, as always. That's at Steven Strom, STEVENSTROM. But now you can also find me at Ars Technica, where I'm writing about video game reviews. I'll have a review for Far Cry Primal up here pretty soon. You can find me at ZAM.com now, which is like a new site that I'm doing reviews for, where I just did a review for a horror game called Layers of Fear. I am working at Dorkly, which is probably most relevant to Doctor Who listeners because it's a lot of pop culture type stuff over there. So check out dorkly.com. And you can find me at IGN, where I do a lot of news type stuff there as well. So actually, that's probably a good place to look for me as well.
We can find you everywhere, I think.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Maybe we'll just ask next time, where can't we find you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know when next month my satellite network is going up that will be broadcasting me to every home in America. So once that is up, I'll be able to pick out the blind spots where people aren't receiving me, and then I'll let you know.
We're going to beam Stephen directly into your homes, no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm. And directly into your brains here once we get the patents all figured out.
Where can we find you, Sean?
Apparently, super boringly, just on Twitter. I don't want to follow Steve next time you ask this question. Ask him last.
You should have just saw that people.
Space, and they're going to be reading me on the space station, and then they're going to go backwards in time because my stuff's going to. Super happy for you.
You guys know those 360 terabyte glass discs now that they're putting stuff on? They're going to put me on one of them. They're just going to download my whole brain and send me off to the aliens.
Sean, we'll find Sean as Bernie Sanders' running mate for the election this year.
Oh, God, I should be so lucky. No, at Sean Norton, SHAUNNORTON, I tweet on occasion, and it's usually nonsense.
Yep, and you can find me at Dolly Domofsky, and I believe my Twitch channel has now been renamed to Dolly Domofsky, and my YouTube channel is going to be Dolly Domofsky eventually.
Maybe we should start podcasting on Twitch. We should just record and stream these.
There is a way to do that, and we can figure that out. We can play the Doctor Who Lego Dimensions, just that little aspect of the Lego Dimensions game. Just play the Doctor Who part over and over again and talk about new Doctor Who.
We'll play at least 12 times.
Yeah, exactly. We'll play at least 12 times next year. So there you go. Thank you, everyone. We will hopefully find you soon, depending on whatever news breaks. We're glad we're able to get to this finally. Yeah.
And in the meantime, if there's anything people want us to talk about, if they have any ideas for what we should do in between, send them our way, because I think we could have some fun short 30-minute or so episodes with ideas from our amazing fans.
Yes, fans, please get a hold of us. Tweet at us individually.
Who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you.
Which one? Who? Who?
Yeah, no, they know. They know who I'm talking to.
They know, exactly. All right, thank you, everyone. We'll see you on the next Lonely TARDIS sometime in the future.
Fuck Marcus. He wasn't on the show, so he's not here. You hear me say that?
Happy birthday.